In this time of continuing insecurity and social upheaval, when most of us are unable to meet in person, I invite you into this time of online worship. For this short space of time, let us put our worldly cares aside, close our eyes, and imagine ourselves to be in our places of worship, surrounded by members of our beloved community, and be together, if only virtually, for this 1 hour. I'm going to light my chalice this morning using some words by Cliff Reid. For millennia beyond count, in winter's cold and night's darkness, people have gathered around fire, feeling its warmth, seeing by its light, forging community with food and work and songs and stories. In all the faith traditions of our kind, fire has its meaning. And so we gather round this candle's flame, share us all in the human spirit that makes us one. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in their own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this difficult time of lockdown, keeping in touch however we can, and helping each other however we may. We hold in our hearts the brave and dedicated staff of the NHS, and other key workers who are carrying on in impossible conditions, and all those whose lives have been touched in whatever way by painful events in their lives and in the wider world of which we are all a part. Amen. My first reading is a blog post on Imulk by my friend Yvonne Abreu. Imulk is the time of year when I like to start new projects and endeavours. It's the time when the first signs of spring appear, at least in my neck of the woods. Your local climate may vary. The goddess most associated with Imulk is Brigid, goddess of smithcraft, poetry and healing. Some people wait until the first snowdrops appear before they celebrate Imulk. Snowdrops are the first flowers to appear after the long winter. Hence they and the festival represent the first stirrings of new light after the darkness, cold and sleep of the winter. The derivation of the word Imulk is not clear. The most common etymology is that it comes from the old Irish Imulk, in the belly, and refers to pregnant ewes. It may be derived from Old Irish imfoch, to wash or cleanse oneself. This would be consistent with the Latin meaning of February, the month of cleansing. Traditional Irish folk ritual for Imulk involves making a bridiog, a figure or doll of Brigid, and a bed for the doll. People also weave Brigid's crosses, which were often hung over doors and windows in houses and stables to welcome Brigid and protect the buildings from fire and lightning. The crosses were generally left up until the next Imolc. Imolc is the start of the cleansing tide, one of the four tides of the year, when the mulch and compost from last year's growth is broken down to feed the new vegetation. Two more symbols of Brigid are the white swan and the serpent. She is the goddess of the sacred flame of Kildare and the patron goddess of the Druids. The Dagda of the Tuatha Dé Danann is her father. At this time, sheep are giving birth to lambs, and the trees start putting forth new growth, whose twigs are often red. I invite you to join with me in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. My second reading about Candlemas is from Project Britain. The 2nd of February is Candlemas Day. This ancient festival marks the midpoint of winter, halfway between the shortest day and the spring equinox. Candlemas is a traditional Christian festival that commemorates the ritual purification of Mary, 40 days after the birth of her son Jesus. On this day, Christians remember the presentation of Jesus in the temple. 40 days after the birth of a Jewish boy, it was the custom to take him to the temple to be presented to God by his thankful parents. In pre-Christian times, this day was known as the Feast of Lights and celebrated the increased strength of the life-giving sun as winter gave way to spring. It was the day of the year when all the candles that were used in the church during the coming year were brought into church and a blessing was said over them. So it was the festival day, or Mass, of the candles. Candles were important in those days, not only because there were no electric lights. Some people thought they gave protection against plague and illness and famine. For Christians, they were, and still are, a reminder of something even more important. Before Jesus came to earth, it was as if everyone was in the dark. People often felt lost and lonely, afraid, as if they were on their own, with no one to help them. Then came Jesus with his message that he is with his followers, always ready to help and comfort them, as if he is a guiding light to them in the darkness. Christians often talk of Jesus as the light of the world, and candles are lit during church services to remind people of this. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer, using some words ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad. O God, give me light in my heart and light in my tongue, and light in my hearing and light in my sight, and light in my feeling and light in all my body, and light before me and light behind me. Give me, I pray, light on my right hand and light on my left, and light above me and light beneath me. O Lord, increase light within me and give me light and illuminate me. My final reading is from Listening to the Light by Jim Pym. Another key concept when friends talk about God is that of the inward light. This light is that of God within each person, and some would say within all created things. Or, put another way, that of God and the light are one. This light is the light of Christ and is equated with what St. Paul called the mind of Christ. Others see it as life, which, like light, is freely given to all creation. We know the light as the unconditional love of God, which, if we can accept it, we are able to radiate as light to the world around us. The light is seen in different ways. Paradoxically, we do not often talk about seeing it. The way in which we are most aware of it is through what the Bible calls the still small voice. In this intuitive whisper, we are enabled to discover the will of God for us, and then we see the light as we listen to it guiding us. Experience of the light is something that does not come to us through scriptures. The mystics of all traditions have the ability to pass it on, or rather, to awaken it in others by recognizing that it is there in all creation. Sometimes the light is personified, as with Christ as the light of the world, or Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, in the Buddhist tradition. At other times, it is impersonal, leading us to the point where all projections disappear. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection, to sit with your back straight, your feet planted firmly on the earth, your hands in your lap, and your eyes closed. There will be some words by Tirasa Kuli. There will be a time of silence, then a few more words. In this time of unanticipated spring, let us allow ourselves to extend the anticipation, to value the time of budding before blooming, of seeding before sprouting. This is a time of revelation, the revealing of that which is eternal, which we see every year, but still need to be reminded to see it in a new way. There is also the revelation of that which is new. Every spring we encounter something never before seen. It is that very newness which embodies hope and potential for the wholeness that is yet to be. Let us ponder these things in the silence. Let us allow spring to unfold slowly, that we may appreciate the true mystery of rebirth and renewal. So may it be. Amen. We're now going to listen to some music. Thank you. Next Tuesday, 2nd of February, sees the celebration of two different festivals, the pagan festival of Imolc and the Christian festival of Candlemas. This morning I'd like to share some thoughts about the importance of light as a symbol of religious faith or commitment, and also as a symbol of enlightenment. We saw in our first reading how pagans celebrate the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox by the lighting of fires, the performance of rituals to harness the divine energy needed to get them through the rest of the winter and to ensure a steady supply of food until harvest time. It is also in honour of Brigid, goddess of smithcraft, poetry and healing. This is the festival of Imolc. Candlemas commemorates the purification of Mary, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and his presentation at the temple, during which, according to the Gospel of Luke, Simeon held the babe in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." According to the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, Candlemas was kept locally at Jerusalem from about 350 BCE, on the 14th of February, and moved later to the 2nd of February. In 542 CE, the Emperor Justinian ordered its observance at Constantinople as a thanksgiving for the cessation of plague, and thence it spread throughout the East. Somewhat later, it began to be widely kept in the West. It came to be called Candlemas when the custom started to bring all the candles that were used in the church during the coming year into church and say a blessing over them, the festival day or Mass of the candles. Many religious traditions use light as a symbol of faith. Light is used as a symbol for different divine or reverence figures, Jesus to Christians, Muhammad to Muslims, the Buddha to Buddhists, the list goes on. Many religions hold some sort of festival of light during the year. The pagans have Imolc, Christians have Candlemas, and light plays an important role in the season of Advent. Jews have Hanukkah, and Hindus have Diwali, and the aim of all Buddhists is to become enlightened, to achieve nirvana. Why is light such a potent symbol to so many people? I think it speaks to us at a very fundamental level. We need light to see, and hence to comprehend our world. The light of the sun enables crops to grow, so that we and the animals can eat. It enables us to see what we are doing, and to see our neighbours and friends, and interact with them. Our everyday language is full of the importance of light. A good idea is illuminating, and light can also stand for knowledge, truth, and revelation. Conversely, Roger's Thesaurus, lists benighted and unenlightened, and being in the dark or blind as synonyms for ignorance. The concept of inner light is also very important in religion. Take the Quakers, for example. In their advices and queries, they advise friends to hold yourself and others in the light, knowing that all are cherished by God, and take time to learn about other people's experiences of the light. Appreciate that doubt and questioning can also lead to spiritual growth and to a greater awareness of the light that is in us all. I love the description of the inward light that Jim Pym gives in his book, Listening to the Light, which we saw in our third reading. The Quaker belief that that of God within each person or in all creation is the light, and that the light and God are one and the same, resonates deeply for me. As I said in my service on the return of the light last month, Quakers speak of the light within, which is their term for the divine spark that is in each of us. This divine light is deep within each of us, waiting to be noticed and attended to. A divine spark resides deep within every single human being, old, young, male, female, non-binary, of whatever sexual orientation, class or race. A part of each of us that has never been wounded, never suffered grief. And I believe that it is our job, while we are here in this life, to recognize the divine spark, that of God, in others, and reach out to it in recognition and joy. The wonderful Celtic poet and theologian John O'Donoghue has some beautiful words on the different qualities of light, and I'd like to share some of them with you. In the glare of neon times, let our eyes not be worn by surfaces that shine with hunger made attractive. That our thoughts may be true light, finding their way into words which have the weight of shadow to hold the layers of truth. That we never place our trust in minds claimed by empty light, where one-sided certainties are driven by false desire. When we look into the heart, may our eyes have the kindness and reverence of candlelight. When we are confined inside the dark house of suffering, that moonlight might find a window. When we become so false and lost that the severe noon light would cast our shadow clear. When we love that dawn light would lighten our feet upon the waters. As we grow old, that twilight would illuminate treasure in the fields of memory. such glorious images, the kindness and reverence of candlelight, that there is also empty light, where one-sided certainties are driven by false desire. And the ability of twilight to illuminate treasure in the fields of memory. I find his words illuminating, enlightening, such a gift to those who read them. There is no doubt about it. Light is a vital part of our lives, both literally and symbolically. Without the kind and fecund light of the sun, we and everything on our planet would die. And without the light of ideas and insights, from which we may learn and receive revelations, our inner selves would shrivel up and die. As I see it, it should be the duty and quest of all human beings to seek for the light, to take it deep into our hearts, and to live our lives suffused by it, sharing it with all we come into contact with. The inner light of the Quakers is there in everyone. We just need to be aware of it. I will leave you with some words from Don Camillo and the Prodigal Son by Giovanni Guareschi, in which the Lord is speaking to Don Camillo. Once, 100 men were shut into an enormous dark room, each one of them with an unlit lamp. One of them managed to light his lamp, and so they could all see one another and get to know one another. As the rest lit their lamps, more and more of the objects around them came into view, until finally everything in the room stood out as beautiful and good. Now follow me closely, Don Camillo. There were 100 lamps, only one idea. Yet it took the light of all the lamps to reveal the details of everything in the room. Every flame was the 100th part of one great idea, one great light, the existence and majesty of the Creator. Today, men wander mistrustfully about, each one in the light of his own lamp, with an area of melancholy darkness all around him, clinging to the slightest detail of whatever object he can illuminate by himself. And so I say that ideas do not exist. There is only one idea, one truth, with 100 facets. Ideas are neither finite nor finished, because there is only this one and eternal idea. But men must join their fellows again, like those in the enormous room. May we all be such lights, one to another, and to the wider world of which we are a part. some closing words. As light is a symbol of hope and renewal, of divine presence within each and every one of us, may we celebrate the midpoint of winter with our hearts high, anticipating new life, new hope. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts, now and in the days to come. Amen.